Today's scripture reading is Exodus 20, verse 15. You shall not steal. You may be seated.
One of these days, the scripture readings are going to get longer again, and then y'all are going to complain we're making you stand too long, so don't get too used to it. All right, well, please bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning once again for this time to consider your word, to reflect upon it, to consider, Lord, what it speaks to us, what it speaks to our hearts and to our lives. And we pray, dear Lord, that we would be open to receive your word. We know, Lord, that especially during a series like this, where the whole intention is to show us our guilt, we often tend to shut down. We tend to close off our hearts because we don't want to feel guilty. We don't want to realize our wrongdoing. But we pray, Lord, that you would keep our hearts open and that as we see our guilt, it would just produce its desired effect, Lord. That as we see our guilt, instead of causing us to shut down, it would lead us, Lord, into a spirit of repentance and to a spirit of trusting in Christ that we might receive all the blessings he has for us. So minister to us once again today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, as we continue on in our series on the Ten Commandments, we got this one. We got two more messages we're going to hear. But we now find ourselves at the seventh commandment. And as you just heard, as you can see up there on this screen, what we're going to be reflecting upon today is God's word to the people, very simply, you shall not steal. Now, although I think just about everyone, and this is true whether you're a churchgoer or not a churchgoer, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, just about all of us know that stealing is wrong. Yet most of us, we can recall some ways that we have violated this commandment over the course of our life. The sin of stealing is so common that in his large catechism, Martin Luther said this. This is one of my favorite quotes of his. If all who are thieves, though they are unwilling to admit it, were hanged on the gallows, the world would soon be empty, and there would be a shortage of both hangmen and gallows. So if you understand his point, he's saying, you know, again, we're all guilty. Now, there may be some who cannot specifically recall a time when they've taken something that did not belong to them, and for this reason, perhaps, they're thinking to themselves that they have not broken this commandment. But once again, as we look at this today, you'll see that this is far from the case. And even if you do recognize your guilt when it comes to this commandment, it's likely that you don't realize the extent of your guilt. It's likely that you don't realize the extent to which you've broken it. Now, many of us, we remember breaking this command maybe as a small child. You know, maybe you remember taking a piece of candy from a store. You know, maybe mom and dad caught you and made you return it. Maybe you even got away with it. Maybe you took a toy from a friend. But quite often we do continue to steal in small ways or in larger ways, even as adults. And some of the ways in which we steal, they are so common that we don't even think twice about it. We continue to steal, yet we think that we're living in obedience to the command of God. And so once again, as we look at this a little closer, we're going to see that each and every one of us are guilty when it comes to this commandment. Now, in his small catechism, Luther explains this command saying this: we should fear and love God, and so we should not rob our neighbor of his money or property, nor bring them into our possession by dishonest trade or by dealing in shoddy wares, but should help improve and protect his income and his property. And he goes on to define it a little bit more in the large catechism, where he says to steal is nothing else than to acquire another's property by unjust means. This includes taking advantage of our neighbor in any sort of dealing that results in loss to him. So again, it might be something more than just taking something. It might be some devious scheme that we come up with in order to take something that doesn't belong to us. Now, some of the ways that people break this command are very obvious, and it may seem very simplistic for our sermon today. For example, when I was serving out in California, the church that I served and the house in which I lived, they were in a very bad part of town. People broke into the church on a few different occasions. That's where I started to learn that nothing is sacred anymore, because, again, they didn't have any hesitancy in breaking into a church in order to gain for themselves. And there were several other attempts, but the church also had a security system, and so quite often, once the alarm went off and woke up the whole neighborhood, that ended the burglary attempt. Yet people were successful from time to time. There was one night in particular that someone broke into the church. They broke into the secretary's office, and even though it may sound old-fashioned nowadays, they ran off with a computer and a fax machine. I know not too many people use those anymore, but they were worth some money back then. Another time, someone broke in broad daylight. I went out to lunch, I locked the church up, and came back, and somebody had broken in and stolen a TV and a VCR in the hour that I was gone. A couple of months after Sherry and I were engaged, we flew back to Iowa. She had met my parents. They'd come out to California, but the rest of my family hadn't, so we went back to meet the rest of my family. And when we got home, when I took her back to her apartment, we discovered that somebody had probably seen us leave with her bags, and they broke out the window in her living room and stolen again. I think it was a TV, a VCR, some CDs, some other things like that. And when I moved into my home in San Diego, I discovered that people would steal just about anything. It didn't have to be things of value, necessarily. When I first moved in, the grass in the front yard was dead. You know, San Diego is basically a desert, and so unless you water very routinely, you can't maintain a lawn or a garden. And so when I got there, one of the first things I did was I seeded the yard, and then I began to water it, and I would water it each and every day. But it was a pain to drag the hose out every day, hook it up in water, and so I did what most people did. I went out and I bought a hose reel, and I hooked it to the front of the house right next to the faucet, and I wound a hose around it. Easy access anytime I needed to go out there and water. The next day I walked out, and the hose reel and my hose were gone from the front of my house. So I went out and bought a new hose and started locking it up in the garage again each and every day. I also remember waking up one Saturday morning. I was living alone at the time, and I heard the water running. Who turned on my water? And so I looked out my window, and there was a man standing out front washing his car. He was a foreigner. And I asked him, I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm washing my car." And I said, "Are you paying my water bill?" And all of a sudden, he just walked up, turned off my water, disconnected his hose, and went back into his house. He decided he needed to use my water. I don't know why he didn't use his own faucet. But I'm sure that most of you have had somebody steal from you at some point in your life. Maybe you've had this happen several times. It is a common problem in our society today. It's a very common sin. And once again, as I mentioned a moment ago, some of the ways that we commit this sin, they're so common, we don't even realize that they're wrong. We just kind of do them without recognizing the fact that this is a form of stealing. And one common way, just to give you a few examples, one common way that this command is often broken is through employee theft. Okay? Quite often, employees will take things that belong to the company, that belong to their boss, even if it's just little things. Maybe it's stamps, right? Maybe it's pens. Maybe they use the company copy machine for personal use, and they don't ask for permission to do so. But it's been estimated that employee theft accounts for 60% of all inventory losses at most companies. We can also steal from our employers by calling in sick when we're not sick, right? By being wasteful of company supplies, or by neglecting company-owned equipment. Another way people commonly steal from their company is by expense theft. A lot of people, they'll get a corporate expense account for their purchases as they're out on the road or as they're meeting with clients. But quite often they'll use these accounts for personal purchases. You know, they'll take friends out for lunch and write it off as a business lunch. They'll go out and they'll rent a car for personal sightseeing and write it off as business travel. And again, this of course is not the employer's intent for the account. And one of the most common ways we steal from our employers is by simply goofing off on the job. And you know what I'm talking about there. People will come into work late, they'll leave early, they'll take long breaks, long lunches, they'll spend an awful lot of time jabbering around the water cooler or the coffee pot, whatever the case may be. People will play computer games and surf the internet while they're supposed to be working. I found one study showing that workers around the United States admit to spending more than 20% of their work time goofing off. I also found research showing that the hours when the most pornography is downloaded off the internet is between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Now, we talked about pornography a little bit last week, and that's a problem in and of itself. But what this shows is that many people are looking at and downloading pornography while they're at work. I mean, that's work hours, 9 to 5, right? But that's when most of it's happening. And once again, this is stealing because even though they are being paid to do a job, what are they doing? They're taking their boss's money while they're failing to keep their end of the bargain. However, it's not only employees who steal from their employers. Quite often we run into companies who steal from their customers, right? And they can do this in many ways. As we saw in Martin Luther's explanation, they can do this by performing shoddy work or by performing poor service. They can do this by overcharging their customers. They can do it by selling defective merchandise or making false claims about their product or service. And we see examples of this all the time. I can remember hearing, and this was several years ago, and there's probably been many more examples since then, but there was a point where Mitsubishi was basically called on the carpet. And they were called on the carpet because they knew their cars had a defect in them, yet they just kept on selling them. They didn't recall them. They just kept on selling them to their customers. And they only finally recalled it when there were enough complaints, when it was starting to affect their reputation, because people knew what they were doing. And we can often do the same thing as individuals. If we're selling a car or even a house, sometimes people will misrepresent it to those who are interested. We make it seem as though, yeah, this is a great car. There's no problems with it, even though we know that there are some little issues that are going to be need to be fixed very soon. We deliberately keep from them anything that might need to be repaired. Another common way that we steal is by asking to borrow things from people when we never intend to return them at all. You know, someone will ask, hey, can I borrow a few dollars? And again, they never intend to repay the debt. Sometimes people may ask to borrow a tool, but again, they never give it back to its owner. And this has become so common that at times I've become hesitant to loan things out to people. And I know that's not a good attitude to have. We're supposed to be open and willing to share. But again, it's so common, it makes you hesitant. And with me, one of the ways this has happened most often with me is with books. People walk in, ask to borrow a book, and say, sure, and then you never see it again, you know? And again, not a big deal. But sometimes it feels as though the only way you can get things back is by hounding people again and again and again. And you don't feel like doing that. At times, people find ways to steal from lenders. You know, there are people out there who, they don't really care all that much about their credit rating. So they'll go up, they'll run out all kinds of debt, and then they'll declare bankruptcy. Then they can keep most of their purchases and avoid payment at the same time. There are those who steal from the government in various ways. There are people who will cheat on their taxes so they don't have to pay so much to the IRS. Companies will cook the books, again, to save money. Others steal from the government through welfare theft. They find ways to cheat the welfare system out of both money and benefits. In this day and age, another very common way of stealing is through copyright theft. People will copy music or movies without paying for them. They will copy computer software without paying for it. They'll photocopy books and articles that have clear copyrights. And in this way, they're stealing royalties from those who produced these products. And you know, even at the church, we have to be careful with this. We buy a license every year simply so we can put our songs up on the screens or reprint them in the bulletins. We buy another license so that we can show some movies here at the church from time to time. But again, to do this rightly, to do this fairly, we have to pay the piper. And there are times that people deliberately steal in this way. They know that it's wrong and they just don't want to pay for it. And other times we simply overlook these things, but we must make every effort to be fair in our dealings with other people. And of course, one way that stealing has gone high tech is through identity theft. You've heard so many of those cases where people will gain access to your personal information. They'll use it to open credit card accounts. and then they'll use it to either run up charges or even to clean out your savings account, your checking account, if they can do it that way. And many people I know, they've had this happen, and it's just a mess to clean it up afterwards. It's taken years for them to get their finances back in order again. And there are many ways that we steal. There are many reasons that we do so as well. Now, some people steal because they think they need to do so. Perhaps they're poor, and they think that this is the only way that they can provide for their needs. And so often they will steal practical items. They might steal food or clothing or household items, or they steal things of value that they can sell so they can use the money for their own purposes. However, other people, they steal for the sheer excitement of it. They think that it's exciting to take the risk of getting caught. And whenever I think of this, my thoughts go back to my teenage years. Now, at this point in time, I don't know if any of you are boxing fans or not, but at this point in time, the IBF middleweight boxing champion was from my hometown. He lived in my hometown. And a few years later, when he lost that title, he then won the WBA super middleweight title. Now, holding these titles, it meant naturally that he had a lot of money. You know, he made a lot of money on each and every fight that he had. And he shared this money with his family and particularly with his mother. However, even though this is true, she would shoplift. I remember one instance very clearly because I was a teenager. I was working at a Kmart store. And I remember she walked in one day. She was wearing a mink coat that her son had bought for her. And she was caught shoplifting at Kmart, of all places. And you have to ask yourself, why would somebody who has access to as much money as she did feel the need to shoplift? You just wonder. Now, I'm not going to tell you that guy's name, because if he hears this on the internet, he might come and beat me up, and I don't want that to happen. But other times, people will steal. There's lots of reasons. There might be kids who steal because their parents refuse to buy something for them that they desperately want. People might steal out of pure greed. People might steal out of jealousy because somebody has something that they want or that they're unable to gain for themselves. Sometimes people will steal as a form of a prank, like when teenagers go out and steal street signs. However, whatever the reason behind it, stealing is a sin. Another reason why people will sometimes take part in this behavior or excuse it is because they think it's a matter of social justice. You know, just like Robin Hood, they think it's okay to go out and steal from the rich and to give it to the poor. And they rationalize this by telling themselves, well, I'm taking stuff from people who gained it in an unjust way so that I can give it to people who have been deprived. But once again, this is absolutely wrong. It's never a justification for stealing. Now, the fact that God forbids stealing is clear to us. But besides telling us not to steal, what else does God say about this sin in Scripture? Well, one of the first things we find is that God hates it when we employ dishonesty to take advantage of other people. In Proverbs 20:10, God tells us that he hates differing weights and measures. In verse 23, he says that he hates dishonest scales. You see, this is a way that people would cheat back in those days. They would have weights, you know, they would have to weigh things out as they sold them, and the weights would not be accurate. They would be to the advantage of the seller so they could overcharge their customers. And God says that he detested it when people did that. In Exodus 22, God told the people that if they stole something, they had to make restitution. But not only did they have to reimburse the person for the value of what they took, they also had to pay back more than they took as a form of a punitive damage. God said, for example, that if someone stole an ox or a sheep, and they either sold it or killed it, then they would have to repay 5 oxen for an ox or 4 sheep for a sheep. If the stolen animal was found alive and in the possession of the thief, then he would have to pay back double. And if the thief was unable to make restitution, then he was to be sold for his theft. In other words, he was to be sold as a slave in order to pay back his debt. In Leviticus 6, we see that if someone stole from his neighbor by deception or extortion, or if he lied about property that he had found, then he was to make restitution in full, and he was to add a fifth of the value to it. and give it all to the owner. So again, God required restitution for the thief as well as punitive damages. And this served as both a deterrent and also as a punishment. The one who was tempted to steal, he would know what could happen if he were caught. He would know that there's a good chance he would end up worse off after the theft took place than he was before it. And hopefully that would make him think twice about going through with the crime. But also it provided a punishment for the guilty after the fact. And in Ephesians 4:28, the Apostle Paul writes this: "Let the thief steal no longer, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, that he may have something to share with anyone in need." And so what we learn from this passage is that Paul is calling the thief to repentance. He is calling on the thief to work productively with his own hands. Why? So that he could be generous with others who were in need. So he wanted them to turn from their sin and to live life in a loving and a godly sort of way. So rather than steal or extort from those around us, we are called upon to protect and to preserve the wealth and the possessions of our neighbors. We are called upon to be generous with other people, with everything that God has blessed us with. You know, other than in baseball, all forms of stealing are wrong and unacceptable, right? You can steal second, but that's about it. And as I read for you last week from 1 Corinthians 6, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality," and here we go, "nor thieves," right, "nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And so we see once again very clearly that the sin of stealing makes us guilty and it condemns us to an eternity of hell. And once again, because of this, we can see that this is the fate that each and every one of us deserve. We deserve to be forever separated from the presence of God. We deserve to be forever separated from His blessing because we have committed this sin along with so many others. And so again this morning, if we look at God's word and honestly search our heart, we see that we are all guilty of breaking this command in various ways. And just as we've seen with all of the others, breaking this command condemns us. It makes us deserving of the eternal wrath of God. So if we are to escape this fate, if we are to live eternally in God's presence, we need a Savior. We need someone who can pay this penalty on our behalf and grant to us the blessings of God. And as we know, and as we're going to be talking about more as Easter comes closer, this is where Jesus comes into the picture. This is where we must remember that He was born into this world, that He died upon the cross, that we might be saved from our sin, and that we might be enabled to receive His righteousness. And this is all received through faith in Him. If we trust in Him, if we trust in the sacrifice He offered on our behalf, then we will receive His forgiveness, His righteousness, and the gift of everlasting life. So once again, as we close this morning, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Let's go before Him confessing our guilt and asking for His forgiveness. And let's go confidently knowing that Jesus has already done for us everything necessary to accomplish both our salvation and also knowing that He's interceding for us at the right hand of God. And let's pray to Him for strength that we might faithfully serve Him and that we might walk according to His will. Let's pray. Well, Lord, once again this morning, as we consider this commandment, one that seems very simple to us, we once again recognize that we are all guilty. Whether it's a sin we committed in childhood or as adults, whether it's something we've committed knowingly or unknowingly, we know, Lord, that we have at times taken things that rightfully belong to others. We have done things that have benefited ourselves while they have harmed other people financially. And we pray, Lord, that for this, You would forgive us. We pray, Lord, that You would, through the blood of Jesus, wash us clean of all of our sin. And that, Lord, You would grant to us Your everlasting life and all of the blessings that have been provided through Jesus' death and through His resurrection. And once again, we pray that You would transform our hearts, so that no longer are we consumed with greed, with jealousy, but Lord, rather that we would have a desire to bless those who are less fortunate and to give what we have earned by our own work to others who might be in need. So once again, use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.